Yeah, this morning I am really excited, even on the back of those two prophetic words that came, which is why I wanted to jump straight into what I felt the Lord had for us this morning, is because when these prophetic words come, it's often, I've seen it work out like this. Sometimes a prophetic word will come and there'll be one person that the Lord wants to highlight and speak and say something to them. And there's other times where God starts to speak about, this is the heart of what I want to share this morning. And so I'll give you a little bit behind the scenes. I have the privilege of being the lead elder in this congregation, which is super cool, except most of you are like, but we've never seen this dude before. And that is because I've had an amazing privilege, myself and my wife and family and Monoya and Arena. We've actually traveled through all the gatherings and all the Josh Jen congregations through South Africa in the beginning of the year, just sharing with them what we felt the Lord is doing. And so I haven't been here for like 5 weeks. And so coming to preach this morning, I was super nervous. Like, I stand often on a stage in front of thousands of people and preach and don't have nerves. And this morning I'm nervous because I was like, man, Lord, I want to make sure that what I'm bringing is what you're saying. I don't want to come and give like a motivational speak on a Sunday. I don't want to come and say something that's going to make you want to stay. I want the Lord to speak the words of life and that would change you at the core. And so I'm sitting there in worship like, Michael, you can keep going, bro, because I'm nervous. I don't want to mess this up. That's literally. And Lona comes with this word. Man, I feel like there's something of the imitation and the real deal. And the Lord this morning wants to open our eyes to the real deal. And that's exactly the thing that I felt the Lord wanting to come and speak about. And so, Father, I thank you for how you confirm your word by your word. And I pray that as we look at the word of God this morning, that we would allow it to shape us. That we don't come to the Bible and point a finger that it has to prove itself to us, but we come to the Word of God and we submit ourselves and we say, Lord, oh, teach us, show us, help us. And so I thank you for this in your wonderful name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I wonder if we can turn in our Bibles. I'm going to start with the scripture and then I'd love to maybe, it's called Lead to the Ache. I'd love to try and tell you something about me, and if you relate to it at all, then we can maybe we can explore this together. But the scripture is this in Hebrews 11, verse 6. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Mic drop. It's a hard thing to do. No. He kind of doesn't like it. No. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone, not that one, anyone who comes to him must believe that God exists. Or actually, you would read it like this. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God is, and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. What happens inside of you when you read a scripture like that? Because maybe I can give you what happens inside of me, and then you won't feel so bad about yourself. When I hear something like that, often inside of me, what would happen is I'd start to feel like, but what if I really don't know what faith really is? Because it's kind of a difficult thing to understand at times. Or is it just me? And you're kind of like a little bit unsure. So now you know, if I don't have faith, it's impossible to please God. And I'm not really sure what that faith is. And so I live quite unsure and now insecure because I realize I can't please him if I don't have faith. And to be honest, I can't really quantify what faith is all the time. Just the pastor, eh? Let me give it to you in a bit of an analogy. My whole life, I didn't do really well at school. In just because I wasn't there much. It was an option. And so all I wanted to do growing up was play rugby. I didn't care about anything else. I just wanted to play rugby. That was the main thing I wanted to do. But I didn't have a thriving school career, so I didn't have that opportunity. Until I was like 17, I had been removed from the schooling system for their benefit and mine. And I decided I really want to play rugby. I haven't been a part of a school. All my friends that played rugby are playing school rugby. And I was like, I have no idea. Just a disclaimer, I am from KwaZulu-Natal, where Afrikaans is a dialect that we hear they speak somewhere in South Africa. No idea what that language is. And so I go to my first rugby practice as a turning 18-year-old. And I remember rocking up and thinking to myself, okay, cool, I'm going to play rugby. And then you get there and everybody is speaking another language. And I'm living in Joburg at the time, and I get there and everybody is talking Afrikaans. And I'm like, I don't want to stick out, but I also have no idea. So they used to laugh at me because they could see in my eyes that I had no idea what I was doing. But I just looked super eager. And so the coach would rock up and be like, okay, lekker man, kom ons oefen. And I'm like, cool, we're going to oefen. I don't know, like I started getting ready to do a push-up and the guys are looking at me like, what's he doing? And then I'd be like, I don't really, okay, fat the draffy. And I'm like, a draffy, where's the draffy? I don't know. Did I leave the draffy? Did I forget to pack the draffy? What is the draffy? And then everybody starts to run to, oh, okay, we're going to go for a jog. And then we running around and then I stop and he says, okay, yeah, soti, kredi di draafsakke. Don't even know what the English word is anymore. I'm like, who's Soti and what's a draafsakke? What am I doing here? And I found myself, I had this desire. I desperately wanted to play rugby. It was there. But I was so unsure of what it actually meant or what people were even talking about at times that eventually I just made sure I was never in front. That was my trick that I learned. Never be in front and just act confident. And then he's like, okay, yalla, wat de draffie daarso? And then I wait and check, okay, they're all running that way. Then I just follow them. And then he's like, get in lines, we're going to, kom ons kop 'n stamp. And I'm like, we're going to do what? I have a little bit of Afrikaans and that kind of sounds like we're going to bang heads. Like, so I'm mentally preparing myself for we're going to stand opposite each other and hurt each other. I don't know what this is, but it seems like something you would do in rugby. And I realized I was trying to do something that I desperately wanted to do, but I was so unsure of it that in the way that I did it, I was quite ineffective. And actually, it was a nightmare. It was actually anxiety producing. I remember thinking, got to go to rugby today. And I really want to do this, but I've actually no idea what I'm doing. I feel like faith can be like that for the Christian sometimes. I really want to know God. I really want to serve Him. I really want to come to know Him. But, and it says I need faith. And to be honest, I'm standing around looking like, well, someone else here seems to know what they're doing. That guy over there, yeah, he prays really loud. I'll copy him or I'll do him. Or we start to think that, oh, well, it looks like a certain thing. So if I do the things, then I'm doing the right thing. And so we can fall so quickly and so easily into a faith that is based on imitation. That it's not based on the real deal. That we actually don't always, and you might be sitting there being like, bro, I'm not being saved 6 months. I know what faith is. I'm telling you, I've been saved a little bit of a long time, and I've been in ministry for a long time, and I still find myself often wrestling through my own understanding and outworking of faith all the time. Yeah. Donovan's like, thank God it's not just me. Because if you ask people, oh guys, you need faith. You're like, yeah, I'm sure. I know what that is. It's faith is the substance of things hoped for and being certain of what we do not see. Okay, what does that look like? Another scripture. And I'm saying it's super, and my goal this morning is that something that is this could be actually that it would be the mist would be cleared away and it would be really simple to see and understand so that we can serve Jesus with confidence. Because when you have a clean grasp, and sometimes, honestly, you're not alone. This happens through the Bible all the time. All the time in your Bible, if you read it, people go from faith being something that comes from within them and it's driven of a desire for Him and it becomes the actions that they do and they fall into habit and ritual and religion and tradition and system. Like, we're going to worship God now. So we're like, okay, cool. Do you think, and I'm being honest, I'm not being facetious, do you think that when we come to church and we sing songs, do you think He likes it? I don't think it's a given. I don't think that God is necessarily, and I'll show this in the scripture, necessarily moved by what it always looks like. I think what it looks like is motivated by what comes out of us on the inside, which is faith. But I think the external alone isn't good enough. And so if we come to church and worship and just stand here and sing the song, I just want to say to you, if it's not based in faith, it means nothing. It's the fake frog. Click, click. It means you can do all the right things. Go to all the church meetings. Read your Bible every single day. Do all the things. Tell all the people. Let it look right externally. But if it's not rooted in faith inside of you, it's impossible to please Him. Impossible. There is nothing you can do on the outside that can please God if it's not rooted in faith.
Faith.
Are you with me? You're like, you better open your Bible and prove this, bro, because you're making some big statements. Let's look at this definition in Hebrews 11, verse 1 to 2. See, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of the things we cannot see. And through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. It means faith, what it looks like in this world, is evidenced of something that you can't see. It means the way that you live your life is based on what you have faith in. The evidence of your life, of your decisions that you make, of the things that you find enjoyable, the goals in your life, your visions and dreams, the things you think about most, the things, the deepest desires, the things that you hide from everybody else. The fruit of your life is the evidence of what you have faith in. And it's not a given that that faith is always placed in Jesus. Yo, I'm Dan and I'm a friend and it's cool to meet you. And if you don't have this faith in the Lord, a life that is evidenced by what I believe about Him, without that, it's impossible to please Him. You can do every checklist. You can serve Him for an indefinite period of time. You can grind through the obedient acts. And I'm telling you, if it's not rooted in faith, it does not please the Lord. Shucks. It's like this. If you buy a house and you get a bond, you get the title deed. Now, if you rent that house, who knows? I mean, most of us rent because it's Cape Town, right? And nobody can afford to buy. But when you rent a house, you're like, oh man, I would love to put a painting up over there. Better phone the landlord and ask him if I can drill one nail in the wall. But you actually don't ever check. I know you guys. I better phone the landlord and find out if I can put that painting on the wall. Because it's not my house. So I can't do with my house as I want to do. So I want to put up a wall over there so that the children don't go into the pool. Better phone the landlord and find out. But actually the difference is when you buy that house, you get a title deed. And that title deed says, this is your house. But the majority of us can't buy it cash. So we buy it with a bond. The bond means the bank have a vested interest in your house and they hold the title deed. But how do you live in that house? You live as though you own it. You're like, I'm not going to ask the... You don't phone the bank and ask permission to put up the boundary wall. You don't phone the bank and ask them if you can hang a painting over here or if your wife can paint the door red or... I don't know if you have a wife like mine, but every time I go away and come back, she's changed something. Something has changed all the time in the house. You see, when you are the owner, even though you don't have the title deed in your hand right now, you live as somebody who owns this house. This is my house. And that's the same when you have faith in the Lord. It's though, even though you can't see it and I don't have it right now, I'm living as a child of God right here, right now. I don't have to be indecisive about whether or not I can make this decision or this decision. I have to make all decisions in faith in Jesus. And when I live out according to my faith, it pleases Him. Understand that? I'll give you another example. Have you ever heard of sibling rivalry? Let me give you the background behind that story. There's an origin story for sibling rivalry. And it's in Genesis 4, verse 3 to 5. When it was the time for harvest, there were two brothers, Adam and Eve. They had two children, Cain and Abel. And these two brothers, when it came time for harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. So right here in the beginning of the Bible, you see this is the first time you see this, where there are two brothers, and most theologians would tell you that both of them, their parents would have told them that there is a way to make an offering. And both of them make an offering to the Lord. One of them is accepted, and the other one is rejected. And the one that is rejected, it makes him so upset that he goes and kills the other brother, Abel. Cain kills him because the Lord accepted his offering. And then this is what the Bible would say about that. What was the difference between Cain and Abel's offering? In Hebrews 11 verse 4, because it was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. Can I break down that story for you a little bit to understand? Cain's offering would have looked very nice to the eye. He would have brought what he is a farmer, and so he brought a produce from the ground. So he would have brought whatever he grew. Let's say like a little fruit and veg bundle and a sheaf of wheat. And he would have brought this nicely all together, looks presentable offering to the Lord. But when he gives it to him, it's rejected. Do you know what Abel's offering would have looked like? Have you ever seen a butcher, after he's butchered an animal, if he doesn't have running water? Because remember, there's no running water right now. So Abel would have gone to his firstborn lambs, and the way that you sacrifice a lamb is you cut it open, and you take all the fat from the organs. That was considered, that's what you made an offering of. And then you would take the best cuts of meat and the fat from the organs, and he would have brought that to the Lord. Do you think it looked nice? Do you think it looked the part? Do you think it looked like, I mean, if you put it in this context, it would have been like Abel came to church dressed to the nines, rocking the perfect, with a perfect speech and looking the right way, and Abel would have come in a bloody mess. Excuse the pun. But Abel's offering is brought with faith. That the Lord isn't concerned with what this looks like on the outside. The Lord is concerned with the fact that I've been told that I need to make an offering for sin that involves blood and cost and price. And so there is a part of me that doesn't just believe God is real. I believe this is what's going to please him. And so I want to do what will please the Lord. That's faith. I believe in him. I believe who he is. I believe what he likes, and I want to bring him what he likes, which is a raw offering, a fat offering, full of a mess, my life, a mess. But he wants me to bring it to him. And as he brings it to him, it says, and God showed that he accepted Abel's offering. Most people would imply that fire would have come down onto that offering and consumed it, and Cain's was rejected. And I want to draw the similarity back to our life. God isn't waiting for you to get your life together and bring that to him. He's not waiting for you to stop doing all the bad things that you're doing. He's not waiting for you to get it right and get out of debt and solve myself and fix my relationships and come in a nicely well-presented manner to church in a nice way. And then when I've got it all together, then I can bring my offering. No, that's Cain's offering. Abel's offering is the Lord is looking for you in your bloody mess, but rooted in faith. Lord, that all that I can bring is what you want, and all that you want is all of me. The truth of who I am. The inner hidden parts. The fat of the organs. Not this external thing that everybody sees and thinks is so impressive. No, God is after our sincere and pure devotion. What is going on in the heart of us? That is where doing things out of faith comes from. Are you with me? It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying, and he disappeared. There was another man, and he walked by faith, and his name was Enoch, and the Lord takes him. And then it says, he was known as a person who pleased God. And then this is where we get to the scripture. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Do you want to please the Lord? Yes. Thanks, Dex. Me too. That means I have to live Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday by faith. It means that I don't just bring my offering to him on a Sunday morning when Michael plays the guitar. It means I bring my life to him and all the mess of it every single day, all day. Come on. Do you know what the irony is? It says that you cannot please him unless you believe that he is and that he rewards those who seek him. It's not just about believing that God is up there. A distant mystical force that is, oh Lord, would you help me today? And you're kind of not sure what's going to fall out. We think he's a slot machine. Okay, Lord, I need financial breakthrough this month. Could you help me? Cha-ching, washing machine breaks. Oof. Shucks. I said it the wrong way. Lord, I release blessing in my life. And then you get a flat wheel. You're like, what? No, there's power in the tongue and the way that we speak. I'm saying, no, it's in the faith. It's in the essence of I know you and who you are and that you reward those who seek you. And do you know what he rewards them with? Himself. The reward of seeking him is finding him. And all of those who diligently seek him will find him. Faith is not name it and claim it for the things that you want in your life. Faith is looking for the thing that you need most and finding it. And then when you find it, it changes the way you live. I live differently because I've sought the Lord and I've found him and he accepted me and my bloody mess. And the evidence is that he's forgiven me. And as he's forgiven me, it results in my worship. Yo, I'm losing my voice. It results in my worship and my praise. And everything that I do as a Christian is because of my faith in Jesus. But we get scared of this stuff. We think that he's afraid of the mess. We think that he wants the Cain offering. We think that he wants the presentable, nice things. We think he doesn't want the doubts that I have in my heart. When I come to a meeting like this and I hear somebody have a prophetic word and I think to myself, I think that lady made it up. I think these people are a little bit crazy. I don't think you have to worship God like that. Is that wrong? No. But bring that mess in faith to the Lord and see what his response is to it. It's about taking every part of your life and bringing it to him, knowing who he is and the fact that if I seek him in this, I'll find it in him. And that is a life that the Lord is looking for that pleases him. Do you want to please him? Bring him everything. Don't try and bring him what you think he wants. Don't give him your Instagram profile picture. I want to create an app for social media. I think it will be a massive hit. That it subliminally takes a photo when you turn your alarm off. And it posts it for everyone to see. That would be lacquer. We would actually see what people are like. somebody would, half past five, psh, like that person looks more like a dinosaur than a person. That's not this perfectly 8 a.m. polished person who's got it all together and every hair and every, they've got their pump, they're looking the part, they're to the nines. We present that all the time to the world. And we fool ourselves into thinking that's what he's looking for. He doesn't care for it. He doesn't care for it. By all means, be healthy and do the things, and I back that 100%. I'm all about that. But that's not the stuff that the Lord is looking for. He's looking for a people that will be real and raw and honest and rooted in faith in every decision. Faith in him. Everything. Is that cool? Can I say this? You see this first in the first case of sibling rivalry, and it works itself out through the rest of the Bible. The whole of Galatians is a book of the New Testament written to people who've started to think, hey guys, do you know what you need to do to be saved? Get circumcised. Literally, this is the whole reason why Galatians is written. Like, actually, guys, if you want to serve Jesus who came, this is after Jesus, this is not before. They're not saying, hey, do it for medicinal reasons or do it. They're literally saying, if you want to go to heaven, you have to go and do this. And you think, how the heck could they get there? And I'm saying, hey, guys, we do the exact same thing with other external things. We think that our external obedience or our doing the things that he likes is what saves us. It doesn't. Going to church is not enough. And I have to say this to you because there's a chance you get to heaven one day and you think the fact that you were a part of what he was doing or you were loosely attached to it, but it wasn't rooted in faith. There are going to be those at the end who come before him and he's going to say, I never knew you. I saw you there on Sunday, but I didn't know you. You can read your Bible and search the scriptures and listen to all the podcasts and do all the things and not live a life of faith to him, and he won't know you. It's impossible to please him. Why do I live the way I do? Why do we live the way we do? Because I believe he is. I believe he's real. I believe that he is Yahweh, that he is I am who I am. Don't worry, leave it, it's good. I am who I am, that he is all powerful, that he is omniscient, that he is majestic, that he is worthy. I believe in him and I believe he exists. And I believe that he rewards those who come towards him. I don't just believe he's up there as a judge looking down on heaven, waiting for people to tick boxes. I believe that he is this incredible God, our Father, who wants us to come towards him in everything. In every part of your life. In your job, in your marriage, in your parenting. Children, if you're here with your parents, block your ears. Your problem child. My kid, listen, that's amazing. Luke, give me five. You are so obedient, my boy. Well done. If your kid blocked the ears, well done, you got 5 points. That even in your parenting, when you're at your wit's end, when you don't know how this creation has come about that is causing you terror, he wants that mess. He wants you to say, Lord, help me. Help me. I want to shout. I want to get angry. I want to respond like this, but you're my Father. And I believe that you're my Father, and I know that you want me to come to you in everything. Can you help me? I feel like I'm not being a good dad. Can you help me with patience? That as a husband, as a wife, as a mom, that as an employer or as an employee, as a sibling, as a friend, all of these aspects of our life, God wants to be involved in all of them, not just the polished part of what it looks like on the outside. You're at least not sleeping. You're looking at me. You're just not saying much. Man, it's God's pleasure to reward the seeker. That's why, literally, that's why when people speak about word of faith and they'll say, man, if you trust in God for something, ask him. I'm saying, I agree with them. There's nothing wrong with asking your father. And there's nothing wrong with asking him in faith. Please do. That's why we pray for healing. That's why we pray for God to break through in our situation. That's why I can tell you countless testimonies of when God does. Because he does do that. But when it says that he loves to reward those, he's talking about himself. He is the reward. It's the fact that you have a relationship with him now. You don't have to wait to go to heaven. Guys are like, I wonder what Jesus is going to be like when I get there. Guys, I'm just being honest with you. If that's the way you're thinking, you've got a bigger problem. I don't think I know him fully, but I'm expecting someone when I die. And I've had a taste of him. And I don't know the full breadth of him, but I can tell you this. He is so kind. How do you know he's kind? He's been kind to me. He is merciful and gracious. How do you know that? Because he's been kind and merciful to me. He forgives sin. How do you know that? Because I'm a sinner and he's forgiven me. And he's washed me clean. And he removes our shame. How do you know he's going to remove your shame? Because he does it for me every single day. Because when I sin and when I get it wrong and when I mess up, he forgives me and he removes my shame and he doesn't push me in the corner and isolate from me. He comes towards me. He's a loving father. He was good. He is gracious and he is compassionate. That's the person I'm waiting to meet at the end of my life. I don't think I understand it fully. I don't think I fully understand his holiness. I don't think I fully understand his justice. I don't think I fully understand the wrath of God. I don't think I fully understand the grace of God. But I've tasted. I've had a glimpse. And it's worth living for the rest of my life. That is living in faith. Faith of him, the one that I seek, and he rewards me with himself. Our God is not far off. He's very near. Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9. And God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for that. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the things we have done, so none of us can boast about it, for we are his masterpiece. It's not about what we've done, it's about what he's done. We're his masterpiece. He's the one who sent Jesus. He's the one who took away sin. He's the one who paid the price. That means we're his. He has created us anew so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. So by all means, I'm not telling you that you don't have a life where you go to church and read your Bible and serve the Lord and like live flat out for Jesus. I'm saying you do it, but it's rooted differently. Can I challenge you? When you sing songs, if it's not in faith, it doesn't please him. I hope you're really enjoying that song, because he's not. That's not his favorite key to sing in. Gospel of God, it's Dan's favorite song, not Jesus's. But when little old Dan, in his brokenness and his mess, is standing before him saying, you're the gospel of God. You're the good news. You're the savior of the earth. You are. That pleases him. Because it's in faith. If your worship doesn't have faith, don't bring it. This is not a persistence thing. I want to highlight this. You're not going to just eventually get there by doing it. I'm learning something For since December, my wife and I have been training and just trying to get fitter and healthier. And as we travel more, realize you have to do this more. You have to put, because when you're in other people's houses, you can't always dictate what you're going to be eating or what you're going to be doing. And we're not always close to the gym. So when we are, we need to try and make use of it. And what I've realized is with gymming, the more you do it, the better it is. Just keep going. What day is the best gym day? The one you went to. Literally. And it gets lame and hard and... But the reality is just keep rocking up. Just keep rocking up. Just keep rocking up. The most dangerous thing you can do is apply that to your walk with Jesus. You don't grind this out by just doing the right thing inevitably for a long time. You throw yourself at the feet of the cross. It's about saying, Lord, I don't want to grind this out. I don't want to do the right thing because I have to. I want to please you. And where I don't want to do the right thing, please help me. Change me. That's why when you first give your life to Jesus, you find yourself changing your habits and the things that you do. All of a sudden, you don't want to drink until you can't walk anymore. You don't want to take drugs that completely alter the state of the way you think. You don't want to be in sexual morality. You don't want to be sleeping around. You don't want to... Your life changes as it... Why? Because you realize that you want to please Him, and so you start to live like someone who pleases Him, but it's rooted in the fact that you know Him and you want to please Him. That's why it's important that you break bread. That's why it's important. Everything you do, do in faith. And I'm going to land. Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God. In a world of turmoil, who wants peace? You're not going to find peace with God by doing the right thing. Huh? You're going to want God and do the right thing. It's a byproduct. It's a fruit. Faith is not just a belief. It's a belief that leads to a way of living. If you are battling with the living part, go back to the root. Go back to, why am I battling to want to do this stuff? It's because of a belief problem. If you don't think it matters to the Lord, you won't care to do it. But when you know this is not pleasing for Him, it's easy to say, I don't want to do that. And sometimes we're weak and we get it wrong. Like Declan said this morning, I'm 100% the same. Give me enough time, and if my life was up to me, I would hobby myself to death. I would. That's how I try and fill the void. I will hobby myself to death. I will find a new fun thing to try and do. And it's often a symptom of somebody that's looking for something more. They have all the hobbies in the world. They're doing all the things. They're trying to fill life with things. Oh man, Jesus is enough. Nothing wrong with a hobby. Enjoy your hobbies. That's not the thing that I go to for life. He is. A career. What people think of me. Finances. All of these things. I wonder if we can stand together. Again, like I said from the outset, my heart this morning is this. That it would feel so clear what the Lord is looking for. That you don't find yourself running around on a rugby field trying to figure this thing out. But that it would be so obvious. What is He looking for? You and all your mess. All your stuff, man. We've got stuff, right? All our stuff. All your wounds, all your offenses, all your problems, all your dramas, all your internal struggles, all of it. He wants all of it. And He wants you to live by faith in all of it. And He wants it to be very clear for you. You don't have to put on the show on the outside. You don't have to jump through the hoops for somebody. You don't have to keep up appearances for anybody's sake. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't work anyway. He just wants you. And he wants you to seek him. It means you've got to put in the effort. You've got to read your Bible. You've got to cry out to him. You've got to speak to him. You've got to respond to him. You have got to diligently seek him. You can't take that out of the equation. It's for those who diligently wait for him. It's those who sincerely seek him. This morning, do you want to seek him? I wonder if we can bow our heads. I'd love to say this morning that I really felt in my heart that there would be some people this morning that maybe in your life you've never actually gone down. This has never been what faith has looked like for you. It's been external, like jump through the hoops or do the things. And this morning what the Lord is saying is, I want you to have faith in me. In all your mess, in all your drama, not your what it looks like on the outside. Or for some of us, I felt like maybe we have at times responded to him in faith, but that thing's grown cold and we find ourselves going through the motions and it's dead. It's not rooted in life. It's not like I do this because I'm seeking him. It's I do this because it's the right thing. And for both of those this morning, I felt like the Lord wants to come and meet with us. He wants to give you the reward, which is himself. And so while every head is bowed, I'd love to ask, if that's you this morning, if you want to respond and say, Lord, help my unbelief. Help my faith. Lord, I have faith in you and I want to bring my mess to you. If that's you this morning, right where you are, can you just raise your hand? This is between you and the Lord. I see those hands. Please, this is about no one else looking. This is about you and Jesus. It's dead. You're going through the rhythms. You need life in that thing again. Sincerely seek him this morning. Respond to him. That's me. I wonder if we can all repeat after me. All of us. Lord Jesus, help me. I got a mess. But I want to bring it to you. I believe in you. I believe that you exist and that those who seek you will find you. I'm looking for you this morning. I want to put my faith in you. I need you to save me. So Father, I want to pray that by your Spirit, that as we've responded and saying, Lord, I want to seek you and I want to know you, I pray that we'd be met with your Holy Spirit. Father, that we wouldn't feel like we have to jump through the external hoops on the outside or that we have a certain thing that we have to try and live up to please you. I pray, Lord Jesus, that right now you would set us free from all of that. Lord, I pray that we would see you as you are. A loving Father that wants a relationship with us, that wants our mess, that wants who we are. If you responded to that this morning, I want to ask you afterwards, please grab somebody and let them know that you've done that, or I'm hoping somebody would have seen and comes after to you afterwards and prays with you. But for the rest of us this morning, I don't know if you're like me, but yes, I frustrate myself. Sometimes my mess is the thing that I don't want to bring to him because it's a mess. And I'm like, oh man, I'm just feeling out of this. I felt like this morning he's here and he's saying, bring it. Bring it. Bring all that you are. Maybe you're really needing faith in a situation. Maybe you're really trusting God for something. I'm saying, don't try and put on the external appearance. Bring the real and the raw to him. So I wonder if we can all respond to the Lord this morning. If that's you, if you're like me, if this morning you're saying, oh Lord, I don't want this just to be an obedience on the external. I want it to be something that comes from inside of me again, where that comes with your enthusiasm and your life and your zeal. I wonder if that's you, if you want to respond with me, if we can raise our hands. I'd love to just pray for us. Oh Lord Jesus, it's you that we long for. It's you that we adore. It's you that we want to live for. But Lord, man, the water gets so murky. We become so unsure of what it means that we almost just find ourselves trying to do the right thing by looking around us. But Lord, I pray that inside of us, everything would be rooted in faith. Lord, I pray that we would be a people rooted in faith, that every job we take, every opportunity that we have, everything we think about, anything that stands in front of us, that we would do it in faith in the Lord, that we'll be a people of faith. Of we know who you are, and you know that if we bring these things before you, you love to show yourself, you love to be present. Oh Lord, I'm like your disciples in the boat, like, oh, help my unbelief. There are times when I just think that I need to sort this out for myself. Would you help me? Would you come and show your strength? We want to root ourselves in you and in this in you. So I wonder, we're just going to respond. Specifically, we moved early because I want to say this morning, that something like this, it has to look like something. To sincerely seek Him looks like something. It's a conversation. It's a reaching out to Him. It's a bringing yourself towards Him. It's not a just, okay, cool, that was great, now we move on. It's actually, it takes, you need to do something with it. And so I just want to create a moment where we're going to just worship, we'll sing together. But in your heart, you need to respond to Him for yourself. Say, oh Lord Jesus, here I am. I want this. I need more faith, Lord. I need more. Would you help me even more?